The Sideshow Live Sessions at Bloom Fringe 2017 are brought to you by the Church Bar and Restaurant in Dublin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are all very welcome to the official launch and start of Bloom Fringe 2017. That actually did happen. As a by the way, I thought it was in Croke Park for just a minute. We have an amazing weekend planned. We have an amazing series of talks today in Dublin Castle. You are all very welcome to the crew, to the staff, to our sound man behind the scenes for piecing all this together, and to the wonderful ladies and the amazing bunch of merry gentlemen and ladies who make it all happen. And to all of you who have come here and are about to talk, thank you so much. This is more about you, and the Sideshow, I guess, gets to replay those stories and tales that are recorded. If you want to find out any more, because for those of you listening to this who are not here, you're obviously doing it in podcasts, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow, and Sideshow.com. We have a series of talks, and this is what you're about to hear, and that are just around about 6 minutes 30. Go grab yourself a cup of Two Spots coffee. Press that middle button on your iPhone. At Bloom Fringe is who you're looking for, at Sideshow on Twitter. Our first guest, if we can welcome her to the stage, is Laura Russo. Welcome, Laura.
So I am a scientist at Trinity College Dublin, and I study bees and plants and their interactions. So there are very many bees around the world, and everyone should care about pollinators because everyone cares about food. And you notice that when you lose the pollinators, you also lose all of the color and diversity and things that really contribute to our health as humans. There are a lot of things that are threatening pollinators around the world, unfortunately. There are things like lack of floral resources, so starvation. There's also parasites and pathogens that affect them. Obviously, some of the big contributors to their declines are our use of chemicals and pesticides. Globally, we're seeing large declines in pollinator populations. And in Great Britain, you've seen the number of cumulative extinctions building in recent decades, so that they're losing a lot of bee species. There are many different types of pollinators other than bees. A lot of these are flies and wasps that also visit flowers and can move pollen around. And these can be very diverse. But bees are the best pollinators, and that's because they have these branched body hairs that stick to pollen, and because they have these pollen baskets where they carry large amounts of pollen, and they visit many flowers because they have adaptations to collect floral resources like nectar and pollen. Bees are very diverse. There are between 20 and 25,000 species of bees worldwide. So you may be most familiar with the honeybee, and they come in all different colors and sizes and shapes, and they can be very beautiful. Ireland has 97 different species of bees, but unfortunately a third of them are threatened with extinction. As I said before, we have already lost 2 Irish bee species, and we stand to lose quite a bit more if we don't make some changes in the way we manage habitat for pollinators and in the way we use pesticides and other chemicals. This is a report that was published in 2006 showing that while some bee species are doing really well and some are even increasing, a large proportion are declining in their populations around Ireland. And here are 3 different bee species that are seriously declining in this country. We need to take some action to protect pollinators, and that's where the All Ireland Pollinator Plan comes in. I really encourage you to visit this website. It has a lot of great resources, including identification guides for solitary bees, bumblebees, and hoverflies, and planting guides for your garden that can give you ideas about what you want to put in your garden that supports bees across the flowering season. At Trinity, we are doing all sorts of different things to encourage pollinators with a Campus Buzz pollinator plan. As you can see, around campus, we have different things that we're doing, including reducing mowing and pesticide usage and establishing new nesting habitat and floral resources for bees. There are a lot of things that you can take from that and also implement in your own garden. One thing is that bees need floral resources, so they need flowers. And the more diverse the flowers you have in your garden, the more types of bees you will be supporting. Flowering across the entire season is very important as well, so that there's no gap in their food source. One of the reasons bees need flowers is because they are vegan wasps. Essentially, they rely completely on floral resources such as nectar and pollen for their nutrition. The pollen is the fat and protein that they need to raise the next generation of bees, and the nectar is the carbohydrate source that keeps them going during the day. So I like to recommend for your garden also to keep it very messy. So bees like mud, patches of bare earth, bee hotels, and piles of dead wood. This is because they nest, not just in hives, but they nest in the ground, they nest in dead wood, they nest in empty cavities. So you can have all of these messy components to your garden. If you want to establish a bee hotel, which is something people have been doing recently to encourage bees to nest in their garden, provide more nesting habitat, it's just a collection of different sized holes and reeds, and that's being recommended as well, just to increase the amount of habitat they have. Also very important if you want to encourage pollinators is to reduce your usage of pesticides. So any insecticide you apply in your garden is going to kill bees as well, because bees are insects. Just as a lot of your pests are insects, bees are insects as well. Anything that will kill a pest insect will kill a bee. And when applied in large amounts, it'll kill mass amounts of bees. You might think, well, Roundup is okay because it's an herbicide. It only affects plants. It doesn't directly kill bees, but it does remove the resources that they rely on. Bees love weeds, an invasive thistle in the United States that bees just adore. So when you're killing all of those weeds, just think about all the resources that you're removing. The great thing about pollinator conservation is it gives you an excuse to be lazy. Basically, you can just mow less often, spray pesticide less often, leave weedy patches, let your dandelions flower. Just someone complains, say, oh, well, I'm doing pollinator conservation. You don't have to put the extra effort into keeping a perfect garden. Globally, bees are in the decline, and they're really worthy of our attention. Not just because of the valuable services they provide, but because of their beautiful diversity.
Sideshow Live Sessions at Bloom Fringe 2017 are brought to you by the Church Bar and Restaurant in Dublin.
There is a trio involved in this talk. They are the three ladies of Bloom Fringe who would ask me where there is only one answer, and that is the yes answer, to do things for them. And this is how I've managed to end up on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, Esther, Roisin and Marion.
Welcome to Bloom Fringe 2017. We are a grassroots organisation about creating change in the city. We generally do most of our interventions across the city on the June bank holiday weekend, but we also do other things on different dates like St. Patrick's Day and New Year's Eve festival. We did the Flipping Green Wall, which is about kind of fun and also education about greening in the city, where we had summer and winter plants that you could write your messages on it. We are a group of activists, creatives, volunteers who really believe that cities can be different and used differently, not just for commercial things, but for livability. And we host events and give people an umbrella to basically showcase what they're doing, like community gardens have open days and other people do little events or workshops or whatever is their interest, yoga in the park. So we take a gritty corner like the Wygo Bald area down at Georgia Street. We've had four festivals, and we took that the first year and we put down a green surface on the ground and some trees, and we had events there. And everyone was like, well, why isn't that permanently different? You know, why don't we use that space? So we did it over 2 years, and now Dublin City Council has changed that space. We made a permanent change as a legacy for Bloom Fringe to showcase that our cities can be changed. And it's not like expensive things, it's short-term, small, sort of tactical urbanism, it's called, interventions that make these changes. So we've partnered with businesses like Thornton's, the recycling firm, and we made skip seats, and they're fun and they're kind of like comical because it is a skip, but it's a seat, but it's also a planter, and they can be moved easily. And it's a way of testing change in the city, where some place needs more greening, some place needs more seats.
And we also went traveling this year. In January, we went to London and we went over to King's Cross, where there's an awful lot of different building projects going on there. And we came across this place called the Skip Garden, which is where they've taken skips and turned them into allotments and different people garden and farm from there. We went to Aarhus in Denmark, and where we also found another space in waiting, which is where they're going to be doing some building work on it. But in the meantime, they have put down all of these boxes so that there are 300 families farming from this space. We also went to the Bear Pit in Bristol, in England. And the reason I'm talking about these is because this was where we met these amazing other community growers and community activists who are greening their cities. And so we realized that what we're doing in Dublin is exactly the same. This is an international zeitgeist. This is going on the world over. Also in Melbourne in Australia. So we really have touched on all the four corners of the globe, of which there are no corners. And we found on the streets of Melbourne lots of different herbs and companion planting going on there. So if you're just sitting on the street, that you can get beautiful smells of the city. This time last year when we had Bloom Fringe for 2016, we had the amazing gangster gardener came over from LA. Ron Finley came and joined us and we had a great time with him. But when he was here, he also learned how to do some weaving of willow work, live willow, and he learned it over on Dublin Castle, just here in the Dublin Gardens. And he brought that technique with him back to the streets of South Central in LA, and where he's also put in some weaving structures on his own garden, which is fantastic, but he's now teaching other people to do that. So, like, it's really serious change, you know, and it's very simple and it's very beautiful. But because of those weavers who were master weavers from Denmark and from the UK, they came over here and wove a beautiful structure too.
So although we're here in Dublin Castle today, we're actually also going to be in Wolfetone Square tomorrow. And it's part of our activity of moving further into different parts of Dublin. We have worked with community gardens around the periphery of Dublin, but never on the north side, right in the middle. And this is part of the Dublin One Reimagining project. Yesterday I popped into Camerino Bakery, who has given us some beautiful cakes for today, just to say hello, give them a flower, and to thank them for their support. And when I came out of Camerino, I met a homeless man called John Paul who wanted to talk to me, so I stopped and had a chat with him. And he said to me, I've just come out of prison, and while I was in there, all I wanted to do was to plant something and to make it grow and to look after it. And I said, well, if you come to Wolfetone Square on Sunday morning, I will give you a place where you can plant something and you can come back and grow it. And so if people ask us what we do and why we do this, this is why we do this. It's about bringing people together. It's about bringing communities together. It's about the knowing about the power of what communities can do when they actually plant and grow together, and how that can change a place and how that can change an experience and a city. We had a great project called Time Travel, which was about making tiny little baskets of a garden, aromatic gardens that you can cycle around in city bikes. We put them into city bikes just as a guerrilla activity, and people could have an aromatic experience while they were cycling, but they could also understand that this was something they could eat, and they could also take it away and plant it if they needed to on their balcony or their windowsill, and they could also gift it to somebody else in the next bike. So this is what our project is about. It's about bringing people together under the umbrella of being able to celebrate in this way on Bloom Fringe. And already Bloom Fringe is spreading out to Limerick, for example. We're building this project called Seating the City, talking about the lack of seating in Dublin City. But now Limerick is also taking it on. So there's Limerick Bloom Fringe starting today because they couldn't be with us today. So it's about spreading the idea, influencing people, having a really great sort of energy about what we do. It's not formal, it's fun. And in that creativity and fun, people get engaged and start talking about what we can do and how they can change by just making very small actions, putting a flower on your desk, changing what that means to people when they come into the room. So thank you very much for coming, and we are very delighted that you are with us today.
The Sideshow Live Sessions at Bloom Fringe 2017 are brought to you by the Church Bar and Restaurant in Dublin.
The flipping tree as a bideaway, it's what my mother used to call the two Bramley apple trees that we had at the back when they got in the way of the washing line. But it was a delight to see that happen. I think the girls flipped it around at one point in time and changed it to the Sideshow and sent it on to me, which I was absolutely delighted with. Again, any of the contacts that you hear, for those of you listening to this in podcast, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. Our next talks, and they are from our house, and it's a delight to have them in Dublin. Ladies and gentlemen, Ulla and Maria.
So I made a slideshow, but you won't be able to see it. My name is Ulla. I am from Aarhus. I'm part of this team called Active Citizenship in the Department of Technical Services in Aarhus. I'm very happy to be here. Aarhus is a city of 330,000 people. He's quite young. We also have many students, around 50,000. The whole city is quite young in its atmosphere, you could say. We're placed in the municipality of the technical services, taking care of all the daily things like the garbage, taking care of the parks and roads, but also planning the city. And this gives us a really good connection to, bridging people who want to engage in the city. We can just go down a floor and check with our colleagues, is this a possible idea to do this thing here in the park or by this road? We believe in Aarhus that the city is made together with the citizens. And so we have worked like this for a couple of years now. This is one project we're doing. It's a former parking lot next to our central church that Aarhus is really based around. We really wanted to change this because it's actually a really beautiful place in the city center, and it shouldn't just be for cars. But it was a big discussion in Aarhus because people in cars want to just park next to the shop where they want to go. But it has been changed to a temporary park now, and it's actually a spot where you can sit with your coffee or something and have a break in the middle of the city now. It wasn't possible before. Another place, a former cargo area in Aarhus. We bought this from the train company 10 years ago. And we are slowly making this into a new part of the city, a cultural part of the city. A few years ago, in 2009, artists and designers went and actually arranged with the city to rent some of the space. And it has developed into this thing called Institute for X. And they are taking up a lot of space now, but they are also really inspiring for the city council. Gospen is a cultural center where people in music and literature and arts, and also the cultural department of the municipality is working there and also creating a really good co-creating atmosphere. So this is an overview of the whole area. It's almost 1 kilometer long. In the future, there will be the new architecture school will be there, and student housing and apartments for families and businesses. What I'm going to talk to you about now is the Green Wedge. I hope I'm translating it the right way. It's a few of these railways that we kept there, and we're making them into a path to make access. This is a vision from the city council that we want to actually invest in temporary activities as part of developing the city, because Institute for X and the Gospen has really created this idea about this neighborhood should be called something about creativity. I put up some signs saying how to be in contact with me and my team if you want to do things. Then we make user agreements with people. This is something we do with everyone around the city. It's a few pages where you just agree that this is a public project. Keep your area clean if you get to use a public space, and so on. One of the things that has popped up here is then community garden, mostly for young students. And then you can see people are also jogging there and starting to using the space. This is some guys making both some skatable areas, but also a pump track for bikes. Great idea to put this into a public park in the city center, maybe. So we're testing things like this by allowing people to do projects there. This is one of the new things that's just started this spring. It's not that pretty yet, but it's young outsiders that used to hang out and just drink beers, and they actually are allowed to have a place now where they can build up a social thing together and maybe start a cafe or something. They want to test this. So we make a user agreement with them as well. I also bought this old wagon from the train department to keep some of the cultural history here. And it's going to be fixed up, and maybe it could be a perfect event space in the future when all this is built. One major problem here is that everything is cut off when we bought this from DSB, the train company. So there's no electricity, there's no sewage system, and there's no water here. So what can you actually do? That has been a major problem. But so this is all about testing things before you actually go and plan the park that's going to be there. You see over a few years what is actually a success for a new area. So we take this, and I talk to the people in the municipality and try to bridge this thing. That was me. Thank you.
Sideshow Live Sessions at Bloom Fringe 2017 are brought to you by the Church Bar and Restaurant in Dublin.
bit shorter. Okay. Warm welcome in Dublin. I'm very pleased to be here. Very excited to talk about our project in Denmark. The thing that I'm going to talk about is our little green embassy, which is a little willow-made house. It's located near Bispetorvet, which is a very beautiful square near the cathedral. And as you can see in the picture, there is willow who is... you put them in water and then you can bend them, and then when they're dry they can hold forever. This is 30 square meters, and we had an open competition where you can there was this guy, a young architect, who won the competition called Steffen Imgård. And basically we sit in the embassy. It's actually an office for the municipality because we want to meet people where they are. We want to break down the boundaries there is between municipality, the city council, what you call it over here, and between the citizen, and just talk about what interests them. Here you can see the green embassy in the evening, and we usually turn on the light because we want people to go by and look in and see all the nice furnitures and maybe stop by the next day. Here are opening hours, and people can just come in, and a lot of people do, because at first they want to talk about the buildings because they think it's really nice. Kids, they think it looks like a pineapple, but actually it's a little seed that you plant in the ground, and we want to see it grow, and we want to grow with the people of Aarhus. This is just another day at the office, drinking coffee, and people can stop by, drink coffee, read the books, and... We have a lot of projects, and basically we want people to be challenged and encouraged about doing projects in Aarhus. One of the projects that we have is called Taste Aarhus, which is it's about making all spaces edible, and we want people to plant and to pick and learn how to use the nature. And we have a saying that there's an old Jutland law from 1241 where you can pick everything that you can fit in your hat, because we want to say to people there has to be enough for everybody and still encourage them to go out into the nature and pick things. The project Taste Aarhus is a project from 2014 until 2018, and the project was funded by a big bank foundation, and the rest is sponsored by the Aarhus Municipality. Here in April we had a Wild Taste Festival where you could drink mojitos with a little sour ant, a red ant, and was really crunchy on the top, and you had to bite it to get the sourness out in the mojito. You could also try worms toasted, and there was a lot of fun, and people were engaging in all these projects. The pictures that are running behind me right now are projects in Aarhus, and you can see here a garden can be small, it can be huge, you can grow everything just that you have the courage to do so. We have a culture in the municipality in Aarhus that you can go with the flow, you can try it, and you can fail, and then you can learn, and then you can try again, and we'll support you. This is Eat the Wheat. We have different flowers, and we want to encourage people to use whatever they have in their garden, and just not remove it, but learn to use it and make different kinds of pesto. We have urban community gardens, where people can socialize and just be together. They can eat together, they can plant together, and just stay, have a society around the community garden. This is something called Øheren, which Rosen and the other girls were talking about in the beginning. This is a garden community with a lot of pallet gardens, where people can come and hang out and have fun. There's another community garden, I think it's the next slide, where it's up at the Marcellesborg it's a park near the hospital, and there's like a rehabilitating center, and they make these small allotments where you can plant, and then you can socialize with the people up there. Actually, we want people to engage with the people surrounding them. This is something called Green Share, and this is a garden community where foreign students and employees from the university can come and socialize and meet other people from Aarhus and just get to know one another. The thing there is with Taste Aarhus is that we want to encourage people and challenge them I didn't have time to say it at the Wild Taste Festival, but we want to challenge them and broaden their knowledge. This is, the sea is also part of this project, and we want to encourage people to come to the nature. And we have these events where family can go down to the beach and collect crabs and make soup and learning the kids about how to use the nature. This is going really fast. This is fun. And countdown. I know that my kids, I can say it, I was trying to look for a picture of my daughter because she's actually more brave than me, trying these little shrimps, really crunchy shrimps. And she had a lot of fun that day collecting crabs and shrimps. The last picture is Ramson in the nature. Okay, he's... we have a lot of Ramson in the nature, and you can use, it's like this garlicky plant, and you can make pesto. And this last bit is also that you can, all the things you can pick in Aarhus and learn all about the nature. Thank you.
The Sideshow Live Sessions at Bloom Fringe 2017 are brought to you by the Church Bar and Restaurant in Dublin.
So I can adjust the microphone back up. For those of you listening to the podcast, I'm going to try and keep this as real as we can, as sure as I did with the live sessions from Salt Lake City. And I think part of that is to give you a little bit of a taster at home of how this event all pieces together. For those of you who are not aware, and I know the girls did give their brief introduction on Bloom Fringe, but to me, the conversation that I had outside with Sarah Venn, who is a former guest of the show and upcoming speaker, was that there are two options when you do things in life. One is that you take the Dylan Moran line, which is that if I don't spend the rest of my life with this woman, I'll have itchy trousers and life will not be worth living. The other, as I discussed with those who built show gardens at Chelsea Flower Show year just gone, you put falling in love into a calculator and you press the square root button and you build a garden based on that equation because you know it's going to achieve gold. And what I was saying to the lads was, it's like pi, it's like 3.14, it's a never-ending digit, it'll never fully be entirely in love. As Sarah rightly explained to me, however, that my version of falling in love, although people would perceive that I'm terribly happy in my head, I'm also terribly broke and my mortgage is never fully paid. But I'm happy. I'm eternally happy in the little land in which all of the little Peters running around inside my cranium live. That said, it also surmises quite beautifully why most of us are involved with the ladies of Bloom Fringe. I'm also, I should add, very afraid of them all, but which has got a bit of a laugh. But it is the reason that this event has taken place. Amongst those that you are going to hear in the future, and I'm unsure of the layout or how we're going to roll out these as podcasts, the whole Bloom Fringe story, what it became, the change that it began, you'll realise that they are beautifully kind hearts behind the scenes. There's no monetary reason as such why you should do it. And again, I'm looking at Andrew Douglas, former guest of the show, the Nutty Professor, as I referred to him last year. He's been on numerous times, and all of those things, it's why did Peter Donegan know what phototropism was at 6 years of age? And equally, that wanting, that pain in the ass six-year-old kid who annoyed my dad, I'm sure, till the cows came home. I now ask those questions to Andrew Douglas, to Roisin the butler, to Sarah Venn, and to all of the ladies involved in Bloom Fringe. For those of you who have come along for this session, thank you so much to our guests, to our sound man, and to the team and the staff and the crew at Dublin Castle, and also Two Spots Coffee, who have made it here in person rather than just virtually as they have done so in the past. You've got about a 20-minute break. We're back then for part two of the Sideshow Live from Dublin Castle, from Bloom Fringe. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.